FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Later in the show, we'll be bringing you reaction from the women's team clash with Chester La Street from Sunday, and shortly we'll be finding out how the men's team fared in their long away to Grantham Town from Saturday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with some midweek action as FC United hosted fellow playoff chasers Whitby Town on Tuesday night at Broadhurst Park. Here's all the action.
And then cleared by Curtis Jones. Well met though, and Hazel suddenly breaks through, edge of the box, Hazel shoots! That's just wide. Well, that came out of nothing. That was a good-headed clearance there. Decent-sized crowd here on this pretty cold evening, but and it's a near post, it's a training ground one, and it's simple as that, and Whitby Town take the lead. And it was Harry Green who came across there to the near post, and it goes in, and nobody tracking him. So Griffiths is the man who's going to take this one, and the SMRE, an excellent voice for FC United. And can Griffiths deliver quality as FC look to provide a quick riposte here, far post. And it's gone in, and FC do just that with Jonathan Smith. And well, full marks there. Griffiths, the man with a fine cross, and as Smith ghosted in, and moving forward is Dan Rowe, square ball, and well, I don't know, good work from Dyke still here, threads it through. Hazel with a chance. It's half a shame by Lavercombe, but oh dearie me, couldn't hold it. And FC picked apart again. And Fuster, who scored in the game in November, gets another one here. And Whitby Town are 2-1 ahead, and we've played 9 minutes. And Griffiths chips it in, another decent-looking cross. It's not dealt with. It's shot. And Lavercombe tips it onto the bar. And then Morris with the clearance. Great save there from Lavercombe. Good shot on the turn there. Griffiths now places the ball again. As we hit the half-hour mark, in it comes near post again. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. It's 3-1. And it's Fuster with his second goal of the game. And immediate Neil Reynolds responds by getting players to warm up. Hardly surprising. Two goals from set pieces. Good pressing again from Whitby. And the ball goes back to Andy Halls. Halls plays it out the right-hand side. Nicely picked up by Donoghue. Donoghue now, he's got three red shirts in front of him. Donoghue, but he hang on. Now Griffiths with a shot. Oh, just wide. Referee plays advantage there. Goal kick. Griffiths now, can he find quality? Left arm goes up. In comes the cross. It's near post. It's nodded on it. And it's gone in. And FC have scored with the assistance, I think, of Hackett. Another fine delivery from Griffiths, and FC reduced the deficit. It's now FC 2, Whitby Town 3. Waiting was Linney. Awkward clearance of Sonny Fergus. Picked up by Dodd. Dodd chips it on. On the turn is Linney. Linney with a left foot shot just over the bar. And it's a goal kick to Whitby Town. Griffiths, the man with the ball at his feet, to take a free kick from the left-hand side. Three in the wall for Whitby. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the box for FC, and lurking just outside it, Galloway and Donoghue. Here comes the cross. In it comes. It comes on the head, and it's a score! And Morris scores for FC United. Well, that's the goal FC needed, and the goal that makes the game even more the thriller than it already was. It's FC United 3, Whitby Town 3. We have half an hour to go. Donoghue chips it forward. Breaks out to Linney. In the box, Linney slides it across. Oh, and everybody misses it. And in the end, Hawkins plays it back. And Shane Bland clears it. Whitaker is out-jumped by Bird. Griffiths can't quite control that ball. Morris gets ahead on it neatly. Now it's Donoghue. Long ball forward, Donoghue. But it's easily mopped up again by Johnny Byrne. This time Ennis picks it up. Griffiths trying to control it there. Finds Ennis. Ennis can't quite control it either. Griffiths plays it forward. Oh, and Smith there with a risky ball. And Hallsmith kicks. And in trouble now. Hazel onside. Real chance. 4-3. And FC United gifting Whitby a goal there. Now it's with Dodd. Dodd now. Charlie Ennis now. Ennis will think about a cross perhaps. Steady plays a square ball to Galloway. Galloway, the Leeds loanee, square ball to Smith. Galloway again, 35 yards out. Galloway tries to find a pass, but it doesn't make its way through. Halls does well. FC get possession back now with Morris. Galloway wants it, but he's ignored. That comes through Whitaker. Whitaker nods it down. Lenny. Lenny, close to the byline. Lenny hesitates. Ennis now. Ennis to the byline. Cross comes in. Headed out. Half cleared. Linney with a shot. Blocked. Dodd tries to get in at the end of it. Whitby clear their lines. Is there a final twist? Not a great ball from Dodd there to Whitaker, and Whitby have it where they want it. But a poor ball from Fuster there. Gives away a throw in. It's deep inside FC territory. Can FC fashion one last offensive here? Three added minutes to go. Andy Halls made one of the mistakes that led to Whitby going in front again. Now it's Griffiths. Square ball, Smith. Smith out to the left-hand side. Dodd. Dodd now. Checks. Chips it forward, but it's easily defended there. But Dodd bursting through again. Dodd trying to go in there, but well defended. And Josh McDonald still has possession. Whitaker pressurising him. And it's gone out for a throw. It quickly taken. FC. And Galloway caught in possession. FC, more haste, less speed, you feel. And Halls gets it back to Lavercombe in the end. Well, it's got to be urgency with composure for FC in these final 2 minutes of added time. Lavercombe, long ball forward. Morris goes up. He's taken a full possession. Now it's Smith. Ships it forward. Linney waits. Linney to the byline. Then he's got Donoghue behind him. Surely he's got to play Donoghue. Donoghue, not a great ball from Donoghue. Easily defended. Can FC pick up the second ball? Griffiths picks it out. Dodd, about 35 yards out now. Ennis now, can he get a cross in? Ennis shoots. It goes in. It flashes across the box there. Well, neither a shot nor a cross really, and nobody can get on the end of it. And it's a throw into Whitby. Deep inside their own territory, left-hand side. 90 seconds remain of added time. Throwing down the line. Halls gets a foot on it. But then they'll clear their lines. Well, Whitby Town. And Dodd has got to get on the end of this. Dodd plays it to Halls. Halls has got to just blast this forward, you feel. But it will be defended easily again. No, it won't. It's broken now. Galloway. Can he find the right? Galloway shoots. It's parried away. And then hoofed out of the stadium by Ibel. Throwing.
Galloway almost making a hero of himself.
Decent effort there. And enough in it to listen to parry rather than a clean save from Bland. Last throw of the dice. Galloway back to goal. Ennis from the left hand side. Now Galloway, can he get a cross in? Galloway to the byline, and it's saved on the line as Morris tried a shot. 20 seconds of added time remaining, and it looks as though Whitby have hung on here. Bland takes a moment here. And now drop kicks it down. That's it. And Whitby Town have won by 4-3. And FC United will be deeply frustrated by that.
I guess obviously some questions have got to be asked about someone defending on the corners. But other than that, what a fantastic game of football.
Great game of football. Congratulations to Whitby. You know, really good attacking side. I thought they caused a number of problems defensively. But I don't think it's, you know, for me to stand here and criticise people. I think, you know, that side in there, that group of lads have been excellent. One defeat in eight. I think that's nine weeks on the spin. You know, I think I'll still say I think I've got the best back five in the league when you've got, you know, your Halls, your Morrises, your Jones and your Dodds. Everyone has an off night. And we got undone tonight by two experienced centre-forwards at this level. You know, I know people will be disappointed with their own performance, but on the balance of play and the whole play, you know, I'm happy with the attacking play. I thought we were excellent. I thought the crowd could feel like in the second half. We changed things. We got back into the game at 3-3, and then it's kind of one of them special nights at Broadhurst Park, isn't it? But it wasn't to be, and, you know, we got undone with another defensive mistake. But I'll go back to it. I'm immensely proud of the boys. You know, it's my fault. I picked the side. I kind of lined up our defensive shape. So if things have gone wrong on set pieces or defensively in possession, then I'll take that. We'll work hard in training on Thursday, and we'll try and rectify it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say, I mean, you talk about the attacking thing. I mean, we dundered them twice with two corners, you know, in the first half. So we were still having joy ourselves. It's just, obviously, they just shaded it with that extra goal.
We just got it wrong. In the first 10 minutes, you know, we went 1-0 down. It was a mistake. We then get back in at 1-0. We then make another mistake. We then make another mistake. And then at 3-0, we make another mistake. And, you know, but I look at my two fullbacks tonight, in Donoghue and Don. I think they've covered, I don't know how much ground they've covered, but so exciting going forward. You could hear the crowd. And attacking wides were great. And midfield, I thought Luke Griffiths recycled the ball and Sludge, etc. But the back line have just had an off night tonight. And the Dan Labacombe and the lads in front of him will be hurting. They'll be hurting at the top end of the pitch as well, Tim, because we're all in this together, you know, and I'm hurting more than anything. You know, Chaddy will be, because, you know, being a defender, and he knows how to kind of marshal. But we've lost the game of football. At the end of the day, we've lost the game of football. We've now got to start an unbeaten run. We've got points total in that dressing room. Well done to Whitby. We'll now move on to training on Thursday and hopefully see as many fans down at Grantham on Saturday.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to Tim following that 4-3 defeat against Whitby Town from Tuesday. Marking his debut on Tuesday night was attacking midfielder Josh Galloway, who has joined the club on loan from Leeds United. And at training this past week, Will caught up with Josh to hear how he was settling in.
And you made your debut on Tuesday night. It wasn't the result that we wanted, but it must have been good to come on and obviously get in front of the fans as well.
Yeah, Tuesday night honestly was a bit of a whirlwind. It happened like so sudden, but I came down, obviously got everything through over the line, and then walked out into the stadium, and it was just electric right from the minute. I sat on the bench looking around the stadium, seeing the fans, hearing them like roar, so you didn't get back, like, behind the team. Obviously I'd never seen the stadium. I'd done a quick research on Google, everything about the club, and on a Tuesday night as well. On a Saturday, fair enough, my big crowds and everything, but for a Tuesday night, the fans were honestly electric.
Yeah, and obviously you joined us on loan from Leeds for the rest of the season. So could you just tell us a bit about your career today and sort of where it's taken you?
Well, I started off at Carly United until I went right through the youth, and then made my debut in pre-season with the first team. And then in the summer of 2019, that's when Leeds bought me, and I moved to Elland Road, and it was a big opportunity that obviously every kid dreams of, championship team going into the Premier League, and got a real excitement from it, so I obviously took it at that age. And then towards the back end of it, it's obviously not been the way I wanted, but I've just grinded, I've kept myself fit, just waiting for that opportunity. You never know when the opportunity can come, and thankfully FC came calling, and I had to snap the opportunity to come here.
New loanee signing Josh Galloway there speaking to Will. To the weekend's football now, and to hear if FC United could get back to winning ways against Grantham Town on Saturday, it's now time to hand over to FC Live.
Well, good afternoon everyone, and welcome to FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoded.com and your lovely people, the Armchair Army. And you join us at the South Kesteven Stadium and for the pre-match show. Woodsell's with us. Hello, Woodsell.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, I've already interviewed Neil, we'll hear that interview in a second, but the pitch and the conditions have thrown him this afternoon, because the pitch is a lot better than it was the last time we came here, and the wind is going to play a huge role, I feel. I've not seen a win like this since filed away a few years back. What's your thoughts on this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very open ground, isn't it? I mean, obviously, it's, if you've never been here before, it's an athletic stadium with two stands on either side and then two open ends. So the wind, depending on how you play football, will play a part. If you play long ball, direct stuff, it might affect you. If you try and play football, you might get away with it. However, the pitch is normally, like you say, a bit bumpy. The only one for the 1-0 the other month, we've got to be beating teams at the bottom of the league if we're serious about getting to the playoffs. I think that took a bit of a small nosedive on Tuesday, but it's not terminal.
What was your thoughts on Tuesday night? Because we were unlucky. I was listening back to the commentary, and it was one of those commentaries. James does this job, doesn't he, of cranking up the tension because he knows what's about to happen. We're going to get the equaliser right at the end, and we nearly did, but not quite.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were good for a point. Fair play to Whitby. You know, I've read their manager's interview. They came with a game plan to go on the front foot from ball one. He said to expose our weakness. I can only imagine that they've noticed we play quite a high defensive line. We had Hazel especially running from deep, getting in behind. Which
is what they did at the Turnbull Ground.
It is, and what we said at half-time on Tuesday.
I like it when that happens.
Absolutely. It shows me that we know half what we're doing. And I just think we were unlucky not to get a point. But then, do I think Whitby were also... It's funny, game. Were they good for 3 points? They probably were, actually. That's a daft thing about it. We should have made more capital when we had that little... We had a little foray in the second half where we had the ball in the box. I think at three... might be just after 3-3. And we just couldn't get that goal. And that might have changed the game. Like you say, mistake at the back, Smith and... Halls, and Halls had a great game up to that point.
Well, he was going to be a man of the match choice up to that point.
He probably still should have been. I mean, one mistake doesn't, you know, cancel your game. Let's be honest, you know, let's take the emotion out of it. In the last few weeks, we've had two home games that finished 4-3. You get your value for money whichever way you're looking at.
How are you going to get value for money this afternoon? Because this is not conducive for an epic game of football, is it? Let's be honest.
I mean, I think we've only lost here once. I mean, Paul will obviously bear that out at some point.
Opening day of the season, a couple of years ago.
In the first lockdown season.
Yeah.
It's now been known for classics here. We've never had a classic 90 minutes. Today doesn't matter. I'm not bothered about a classic 90 minutes today. I think it's a 3-pointer and get the season back up and running again. So,
because after this, it's Witten, obviously, isn't it? So you want to capitalise. Although they are tricky games, these. They are... Can I just use a cliche?
Of course you can.
Banana skins, aren't they?
Oh, well, there's always a banana skin. You know, we've got some games coming up that we need to be picking up points. You know, Whitby, after not picking up anything on Tuesday night, it's imperative that... Because I think I said on last Saturday, you know, we were looking at potentially nine points.
Yeah.
Minimum of seven. The best we can get is now six. So we're behind on that par score, on our par score from last Saturday. We've got to get three today and then start the season up again and keep our fingers crossed.
Well... Woodso, big thank you for joining us. Enjoy the game.
Thank you.
And let's hear from Neil Reynolds now.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome, Neil, to the Sarka Stephen Stadium. I have to say, there's two things to mention. The pitch looks a hell of a lot better than the last time we were here, but the wind. What's the challenge looking like this afternoon?
Well, last time we were here, Ben, there'd been a hammer-throwing competition on the night before and the grass was really long. That was the first game of the season, but, you know, we didn't adapt to the conditions. We got beat 3-2, albeit, you know, that was kind of the venture of the new team. But we're here now 2.5 years later and, you know, we've turned up. The pitch is great. You know, credit to the ground staff. The wind is like nothing I've experienced before. I think we just looked at it 48 mile an hour. So it's going to alter how we line up today.
Because for those unaware... This stadium's got an athletics track around it. It's like a bowl. It's basically just encouraging the wind to just swirl round. So, how do you play in conditions like this without going too much away?
Well, we were looking at going big. They're big. They've got an aerial threat. We were thinking about matching them. But now you get in, you can't play the ball through the air. So, it's, you know, you've got to have to look at your ball players now. And you know, if we get undone on set pieces, then that's a decision we've made. But I don't think we can go big today. And I don't think we can go back to front as direct. I think we're going to try and what we call play through the lines.
Speaking of set pieces, there was a couple of goals on Tuesday that were conceded from corners. Been working on that on Thursday.
I mean, I don't think we can ever defend as bad as what we defended Tuesday night. You know, we've adopted the zonal marking system all season. We conceded two prior to Tuesday night set pieces. But I'll be honest with you, Ben, we looked like we were going to concede off every set piece Tuesday night. So, you know, that just it's an off day for the defensive line. You know, Morris, Halls, Dodd, Jones, they go back in today. They've shown time and time again how exceptional they are, how clever they are. So, you know, they've got to go and adapt to it, and there'll be a lot of pressure on them today because aerially, Grantham aren't bad. So, but then in front of that, you want your players to get on the ball and play.
Now, obviously, we were beaten by Grantham early in the season, but this is a different Grantham now. I mean, what's your thoughts on, apart from the aerial stuff and the size of the team, I mean, what is the challenge?
I think people can be misconstrued when you look at the league position. I mean, I've just looked at Grantham's last 10 results. You know, a win, a draw and 8 defeats. But every defeat, they've got beat by one goal. 2-1, 1-0 against the top side. So I don't think there's a great deal in it. I stand by what I say. Everybody can beat everyone at this level of football. And Grantham may be where they are. I've just read the chairman's notes. They want 7 wins from the remaining games. And, you know, we want a points total as well. So I think it's going to be a really good game. But listen, we can't be any worse. Again, we just said about set pieces. Against Grantham was probably one of the lowest points of my career. And, you know, I couldn't see us turning it round. We had injuries galore. We had suspensions galore. We had COVID, injuries and illnesses. All of a sudden today, we've got a squad of 20 and, you know, we're all firing. But I think today will be all about the mentality of the squad. But conditions will play a huge factor.
Yeah, and you said at the end, the Whitby game, that this is basically a must win. Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Back-to-back games now. If that squad of players want to be where they want to be at the end of the season, that's nothing against Grantham, that's nothing against Witton Albion. You've got to take 6 from 6. If we don't, and teams around us pick up points, and you fall away and you start running out of games. So, you know, people look at the form guide and the league table and go, that's an FC United win. I don't think that at all. I think it's about our preparation, our mentality and how we adapt to the conditions today, and hopefully we can give the travelling fans something to cheer about.
Well, thanks for joining us, Neil, pre-match, and good luck this afternoon.
Brilliant. Cheers, Ben.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Lincolnshire as FC United this afternoon take on Grantham Town. And joining me for this historic occasion, it's the man who takes history and puts numbers behind it. It's Stato Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
So, before we get to Grantham, let's talk about how we bounce back from Tuesday, because it could go one of two ways after Tuesday's performance against Whitby.
Yeah, I've been looking back at our defeats during the season, and to be fair, quite often we bounce back with a win. There has been patches where we've lost clusters of 3 games, but generally we seem to have recovered well from a defeat. This is not, I don't think it's quite make or break, but it's a critical afternoon for our promotion hopes, if we're going to harbour any promotion hopes in the running. It's well documented, Grantham have not won at home this season, which is an enormous banana skin for somebody who will come here and lose one of their last 8 games. Somebody will come here and lose, probably. Well, let's hope it's not us.
They're taking on a team who has slipped up against them already this season in FC. I mean, do we take any learnings from that game at Broadhurst Park early in the season?
Well, if you look at the stats for that game, FC had 25 goal attempts, 19 off target, I think it was 6 on target. Woeful finishing on the afternoon really cost us dear. It wasn't a case of being outplayed. I think we had around about 80% possession. We had a lot of the game in our hands, and Grantham had very little, yet they scored the goal that mattered. So we have to sharpen up this afternoon compared to that game in October. But our record since then is very good. We played 16 and won 9 with 3 draws and 4 defeats. So that vindicates what Renault did with the team after that Grantford game.
Yeah, I mean, we covered that in the mid-season review, didn't we? Just how important that game ultimately was in the form we've seen now over the Christmas period. You might be able to hear in the background, not the PA announcement or the music, but the wind in the background.
Which is going to be a major factor.
One game's already been called off this afternoon, South Shields against Matlock Town. So it's very, very windy.
And it's a very exposed pitch.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not your typical non-league ground, this, is it? It's more like a German second division team, isn't it? It's like Brighton when we played there. Because of the athletic strap, because it's in a bowl, the wind just swirls, doesn't it?
It does make you think that corners are going to be very, very difficult for both sides this afternoon. And somebody is going to be playing with the wind first half and against it in the other half. And I think it's going to be a massive thing. But the pitch itself looks in decent condition.
The pitch now looks, well,
for January,
pretty good. For January, pretty good. Yes.
I don't think there's excuses pitch-wise. I think the conditions in terms of the wind is going to be a difficult one, and it could be a bit of a leveller.
FC United taking on Grantham Town this afternoon. Like I said, there has been a game postponed due to the weather at South Shields v Matlock. That was a huge game this afternoon. They were expecting a massive crowd, weren't they? There is a big game above us still taking place, and that sees Whitby Town hosting Warrington Town. That's important, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, all games now at the top, it's becoming a real dogfight in the top eight or nine, if we include us.
There was a question about how FC United play in this game. Were we going to go direct? Are we going to pass it around a bit? I mean, who knows what's best to do?
I don't think it's going to be a game where pretty football is going to be outstanding in this because of the wind. I've always had concerns about playing Grantham away because they do tend to play rather direct. And I suspect with this win, they're going to hope that the win brings them some fortune rather than some 30-pass move that gets them in.
What do you make of Galloway being on the bench?
I think Ennis is on the bench basically because he thinks it's going to be a rather muscular opening hour or so. And he could be right in that one. It's going to be a scrappy first half, I expect. Harry Wilson has been sacrificed as well. So I think that kind of tells you what kind of game that Renault thinks it might turn out to be. But he's got the power there to add in the later stages if he wants a bit of skill and a bit of craft. I think Galloway deserves a bit more time on the pitch so we can see a bit more of him. But I think he could end up as a useful loan signing.
Just needed to hit it just slightly more to the left, didn't he, on Tuesday. That would have been the welcome to FC moment for him.
I think he looked quite useful in moments. He obviously likes running at players, and that could be very useful to a tiring Grantham back line towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
But I think the real key this afternoon is get in front early and basically occupy Grantham at the other end of the pitch and don't let them in. Because if we coast it 0-0, it could end up the same as the game at Broadhurst, where they nick a goal and then just get lucky.
A defeat or a draw isn't the end of the world, but you do feel like it'd be two defeats on the bounce, wouldn't it? Just as teams above us are starting to find form, like Whitby. So Neil was right in what he said at the end of the match on Tuesday. This is a must win, isn't it?
Well, it's been made into a must win anyway, but I still think that even if we'd beaten Whitby, you have to look at a game like this against a team at the bottom of the table and say, we must go there and get maximum points, because everybody else virtually is. So why should we not come to the party? I think if we're serious about getting in the playoffs, then we really have to win this afternoon.
This is SC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. It's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team. This is FC United against Grantham Town, and it's Stato Paul. But first, James Quinn.
And it is a free kick to the home side, and Elliot Durrell, the captain's armband, flicks it across, and it's a great shot and a great strike. It was nodded down. It's 1-0 to Grantham, and it was a beautifully taken shot on the half volley by Shane Clark. Flicked in nicely, nodded down, and well, it sat up nicely for Clark, but he didn't disappoint from a Grantham point of view, and Grantham into the lead. Griffiths plays it all the way back to Andy Halls. Andy Halls checks. Square ball to Curtis Jones. Jones will play it out towards Aaron Morris. He'll go up for this with Burrell. Morris wins the header, but it's picked up by Elliot Story, who clears. Halls can't quite get on. Hold on that, manages to flick it back in the end to Lavercombe, who clears. Linney waits. And unconvincing header. This could fall. Oh. Linney with a superb volley and a good save. Well, it was a vertical header there from the defender. It came down to Linney, who really did strike it beautifully, and a real tester for Jim Pollard, who made a fine save. Well, Fula holds it up just by the byline there, takes it round, takes round Potts into the box. Now Fula, and a weak cross though, but FC just making a meal again of dealing with this. It's headed away by Dodd, and it's headed back into the danger zone, and a chance for Miller! And it's just gone wide. Well, that was a chance. Miller feels it came off an FC player. I don't think it did. But that slid across the box. And, well, the bench was up for Grantham there. They thought they had a second. FC live to fight another day. Still 1-0 Grantham lead. Well, FC have got just over 15 minutes to find two goals to get the 3 points they surely are looking for. Duckworth heads it on Linney. battling away. Linney, chance for Linney, he scores, and FC United draw level. Good battling there from Linney. He had Unwin pressurising him and he shook him off and he produced a great finish, and that sets up a really exciting climax to this game. It's now Grantham 1, FC United and Manchester 1. Throw in taken, then nodded there by Wadika. Now it's with Ennis. Ennis slides it out now. Galloway tries to dummy it. Vase fouled, advantage played though with Linney. Linney from the left-hand side. Linney towards the box. Now Ennis with a low cross in. Who can pick it up? It's Dio! It's 2-1 FC!
Well, that was a great piece of work.
It really was. And that's the final whistle. And FC United have got 3 points. Hard-earned. Fairly ordinary performance. A few exchanges of words from the benches there, but FC not getting involved. And some handshakes as well. It's good to see. But FC United have done the job this afternoon. They went the scenic route, as it were, going a goal down pretty early on, a fine strike from Shane Clark, and not really finding their pattern, but substitutions helping to turn the game round. Great work from Regan Linney, fine finish from him, and then a great assist as well to play in Michael Donoghue, and a final score here of Grantham Town 1, FC United and Manchester 2. And we'll be looking at the other final scores in the coming moments and keeping you abreast of where this leaves FC United. It does keep them in touch, the playoff zone. The defeat today would have been, if not fatal, wouldn't have done FC any favours after the defeat in midweek.
Well, let me tell you. Okay, so... some of these are just latest scores, but Buxton look like they've picked up a win, which they've not had in ages, but it is in added time at Ewan Fields. They're 2-1 up. The other latest scores, Morpeth Town are 2-1 up against Basford after coming from a goal down there, and Lancaster City are 2-1 up at Radcliffe. Those are latest scores. But elsewhere, Scarborough Athletic have dropped 2 points this afternoon. They drew at Witton Albion, two apiece there. Whitby and Warrington also dropped 2 points. They drew one apiece. And Stafford drew one all at Gainsborough Trinity. Bamber Bridge also losing today by 2-0 at home to Stalybridge Celtic. So what that does to the league table, we were starting the day ninth, we're now in eighth. 5 points from the playoffs. 5 points from Scarborough. 5 points from Bamber Bridge. We're 6 points from Buxton. We're 2 points behind Warrington and 4 points behind Whitby. So I'm going to suggest, Paul, that was pretty important, that second half performance there.
Yeah, I think it was a laboured victory in some ways, and we needed the help of the substitutes to turn it around. But ultimately, we just about outlasted Grantham, perhaps. We just about put enough in towards the end of the game to steal it. But certainly the changes that were made a big difference.
Are you surprised there, bottom of the table, Paul, and really cut adrift?
Well, as somebody said, apparently at half-time, they're working a lot harder now than they have been early in the season. If they put the work rate in earlier, they may have got better results.
Oh, Tim's going to ask us for our man of the match.
I would say Linney.
5 points from the playoffs now, Paul. It's back on.
Yeah, I think it was critical that we got the points today. One way or another, it turned out to be another. It wasn't a straightforward win, which we kind of wanted, but I'm sure Renault will see this as a possibly another kick start for the season. And next up, another critical game, as we talked about.
Witten,
another team near the bottom that we have to dispose of.
Neil, how important were the substitutions today?
Oh, good question, James. Listen, we... It was difficult before the game, and you know, I could hear people going, change it. We had a specific game plan, and before the game we turned up, it was windy, it was hard conditions. I was going to rest Smith, and we changed things around. And we knew that we had pace and we had strength and we had depth on the subs pitch, but it's important for me that we do it at the right time. And when we saw the game slightly opening up, sacrifice Griffiths, sacrifice Potts, sacrifice Dodd, you know, to anyone else, probably three of the best players in the league, but you go and take them off because it wasn't their day. And the subs that came on, Ennis was disappointed he didn't play, Duckworth was disappointed he didn't play, Galloway's just loving every second of life here at the minute, and you can see we have got a real talent in Josh Galloway, and you know, he's changed the game for me, and deserves all the plaudits he gets.
Telling that both the goals came by keeping the ball on the deck, and they had the long ball into the wind, but proved pretty fruitless.
Yeah, we didn't encourage a long ball into the wind. We did say in the second half, we knew the way the direction of travel with the wind, it opened itself up, and got to be brave, and we've got to try and play in the final third. I thought we had the pace and the beating of the defensive line, but they looked dangerous on the counter-attack. You know, they had dangers on the set pieces, but, you know, we had words at half-time. You know, I will tell the listeners, you know, for the first time this season, I have royally lost it in that dressing room. And why? Because you can't take anybody for granted. Everyone who can beat everyone at this level of football. But, you know, Grantham haven't won at home all season. And that doesn't, you know, there was no way I was going to bring a side in and become that scalp today. And I think we accepted it. Fair play to Grantham first half. But second half, I think we had a real go. And, you know, that could be a defining result of the season.
Yeah. From that point of view, the Grantham goal, not much you can do about a strike like that? No,
there is. There's lots we could do beforehand, James. He takes the corner. He hits a diagonal, which we work on in training. Curtis Scholes lost his man. Aaron Morris lost his man. He then gets headed up back across into a central area, which we shouldn't be. And then he gives him the strike. Now, it is a great strike, but we gave him the opportunity to do it. And when you're hitting a diagonal free kick, it's important that as a defensive line, we stay central, and we didn't. We got dragged to the back post, and that's a bit of technical information, but that's what we did, and which allowed the, you know, the free strike on goal. But it was a great hit. And I think on the balance of play at 1-0, despite Regan Linney's great attempts in the first half, I think they deserve the 1-0 lead.
We've given the man of the match to Regan in a game where there were not many great performances, but he stuck to his job, didn't he? And produced the quality, the finish and the assist to get you over the line.
You know, when Regan's used to being a winger, and he has in his life, and maybe the ball doesn't come to him as much as he wants to do, it's easy for him to drift left and right. I think he did that in the first half. Second half, he kept to his task, he kept central, and he got his just rewards, he got his finish, and like you said, his involvement for the second goal. And, you know, that really pleased for him. And we're really lucky to have a Regan Linney. You know, that's what we are. But, you know, I agree with you, man of the match. I think there was a lot of 5, 6, 7 performances at best today, and I'm probably going to wear towards you and give Regan the man of the match.
And Donoghue, he picks his moments to score important goals. Didn't score so many goals, but he turns up at the right moment. It's great run, wasn't it?
He's done it again today. He's played in the wide position, then he's gone centre mid, then he's gone left back. He's just a great player. You know, he's in there getting nursed up at the minute. He might have stitches in his kneecap. He's taken a bad one. But you know, we're lucky. We've got a great group of players. And even when, you know, really good players have off days, which they've done today, a few of them, you know, other people can step into the ranks. But 14 cup finals to go. You know, everyone knows what, you know, kind of the points that we're after. But we can't turn up next Saturday. I think we've got a right to come beat Witton Albion. We've got to be at it. We've got to be ready. We've got to train well this week. And chalk this game off. You know, everyone look at the results. Results have gone for us. But that means nothing, because we've still got to do some work to claw back the teams above us. But we'll enjoy the journey home today.
And Witton, first of four games in about 11 days, including two quite testing away trips, including Scarborough, which is a big one now. Will the need for the squad really come into play?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, looking forward to getting Bange back next Saturday. He'll be fit next Saturday, so that will give us a different dimension down the middle of the pitch. It might allow, you know, Regan to kind of drift off him and Ali to drift off him, but we've got options, you know. And I've just said to the lads in there, and I've said it, you know, you might not like being on the bench, you might not like being substituted. Have that out of me at the end of the season. At the minute, you're addressing, you've got to stick together, and we've got quality players in there, and if you underperform, someone's going to go and take your shirt off you. So, you know, we talk about the Scarbers, etc. This was a massive game for us today. Big banana skin. No team has got beat here, you know, against Grantham all season. If we would have got beat, we would have been, you know, that big scalp, and we didn't want to do that. It was important we bounced back after Tuesday night's defeat, albeit we didn't play as well as Tuesday night, but that's what good sides do. They go to different grounds and different opposition and get positive results.
Neil Reynolds speaking to James there on Saturday. Let's have some more post-match reaction now from Saturday's win. Here's the radio's man of the match, Regan Linney.
Yeah, the FCM radio man of the match, congratulations. Obviously, you scored the goal to get the equaliser. First half,
probably wasn't where we needed it to be, was it? But second half, we came back strong.
No, definitely. Gaffer had some words at half-time. We had to come out and prove ourselves because we didn't start off the best. But yeah, we're just happy now that we got the result. I'm happy to get a goal. And yeah, it was a great result in the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, you could see in the second half we were really sort of getting on top, you know, basically spending most of the time in the opposition half. But it was always that question about, is the goal going to come? And you provided it.
That's it. When you come places like this, like the wind was a big help today for them, just like hitting balls forward. But thought we dealt with it well at the back, especially second half, and then we had a few chances, and luckily we finished them.
More good news, obviously, as a result of obviously your sort of ability, your talent, your commitment to the club, you've been offered a contract. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm buzzing, mate. I'm happy to obviously commit to FC. Hopefully I can continue to do well and progress on. And yeah, I'm just grateful that Gaffer's obviously put the trust in me to kick on and hopefully carry it on now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it reflects on the basis of some amazing performance this season, and another one good today, which has won you the FCM Radio Man of the Match. So, congratulations and enjoy the journey home.
Thank you.
Saturday's Man of the Match, Regan Linney there. Next up for the Reds will be that match back at Broadhurst Park this weekend as FC United welcome Witton Albion. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. Admission is pay on the gate, £12 for adults, £7 concessions, £3 under 18s, with under 5s free with a paying adult. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United welcome Chester Le Street to Broadhurst Park. To hear how the Reds got on, it's over to Ben and Paul.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Women's Team Live back here at Broadhurst Park on a Sunday afternoon. FC United of Manchester against Chester Le Street in the Women's National League Division 1 North here in North Manchester. Stato Paul's with me for this big game. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, Paul, how big is this game?
The women are currently in eighth, and looking at the table without looking at other games today, I think they could go up to sixth with a win.
It's a curious one, isn't it? Because the confusion comes because I don't know whether FC United are looking up or just wary over the shoulder, because you've got Bradford City and Alnwick Town in the relegation places. Alnwick way off it, but Bradford City, we've games in hand. We play Bradford in a couple of weeks. Just need a win or two just to ease that concern, if that concern even exists.
Yeah, I think a win today would make us look higher rather than lower. And I think it's a good fixture for FC this afternoon, because we did play at Chester Le Street early in the season and lost. And the 4-2 defeat was rather unjust, I felt. It was a game that we really could have won. And it was during a period where we had virtually no players to pick and gave them a two-goal lead and almost clawed it back. But I feel that Chester Le Street, that's their only win this season, by the way.
Well, FC United currently sitting in eighth, as Paul says. Chester Le Street, 11th, that second bottom. They're 7 points behind FC United, but Chester Le Street do have a game in hand. So it's important, really, just to knock it on the head.
I think Tom and the players have a lot of regrets from that game at Chester Le Street, and they will no doubt have talked about that during the week, and we'll aim to put that result right today. So I think there's a big motivation.
When it comes to FC United, we've had injuries galore for much of this season, but today I believe we're actually leaving players out of the squad, which is an improvement, isn't it, really?
Yeah, we've still got a number on the injured list. I think it's 5 or 6 that are still out injured for various reasons, including, of course, Kirsty Chambers, the captain, which is obviously a big loss. Having said all that, Tom has been busy recruiting players, and we've got another new recruit this afternoon in the squad, which is Ellie Kelly from Liverpool, I think she was at. And she's a striker, I believe. And there's a big youth emphasis in the lineup.
Yeah, I was speaking to Lee, the secretary for the women's team, before the game, and we're just commenting on the ages of these players. On the substitutes bench, we've got Betty Hall, who's 18, and Holly Davenport, who's 19. We've got 3 17-year-olds in the actual starting 11, in Lauren Wood, who had a brilliant game the last time we were here, Neve Birdswhistle and Ellie Kelly, and Ellie Rigby, of course, is only 16. So it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's talk of a women's academy, and this is a step that Tom's going down. He wants to recruit good young players and develop them, and have two teams going on ultimately. And I think we've got 28 players registered at the moment, so
Room for reserves.
There's room for another team.
So I should say, speaking of that junior side and developing players and that, our ball crew this afternoon has been provided by AFC Burnden Park, so big welcome to them. That's great news, isn't it? You know, inviting local junior clubs to Broadhurst for these games on Sundays.
Yeah, and you know, we're aiming to develop a side here and become one of the prominent women's teams in the area, and we've made big strides over the years since we started in 2012. Tom has come in this season and he's very ambitious. He wants us to progress. We're not going to get a promotion this season, obviously, but I think long term he's looking at us getting up the leagues and running an academy side and taking it very seriously.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, we're about to get this game underway here, and it's going to be Taylor to take it, the left back for Chester Street.
Shaping up for a long throw.
Yep, looks like it. Into the penalty area the ball goes, but Abby Hunt heads it, but it's not been cleared yet. Hunt's still trying to chase that ball down, but Harvey picks it up now. Harvey's brought down in the penalty area, and it's going to be a penalty to Chester Street. Paul, thoughts?
Well, I think it was a bit of a clumsy challenge, but the referee was in absolutely no doubt there.
And Harvey's going to take this penalty now. We've got 4 minutes on the clock here in front of the SMRE. Ainsworth in the goal. It's a good penalty. Ainsworth diving the wrong way. Harvey slots it to the right-hand side into the net. The ball goes, and it's 1-0 to the visitors. Again, that press is there from Chester Street, but FC United back with possession with Marsh. Marsh to Ogden. Ogden back to Marsh. Forward to Flanagan. Flanagan to O'Gara, and it breaks to Harvey. Harvey on the edge of the penalty area shoots. Oh, and it's a screamer into the top corner. And FC United architects of their own downfall there, really. Ainsworth with no chance of getting that one, and it's 2-0, 12 minutes played, Paul.
Well, the ball was given away rather unnecessarily, really, in a position of no danger, but one pass later, Harvey was facing goal with a free shot, and it just arced above the reach of Chloe Ainsworth into the top corner, and history's repeating itself, I'm afraid, a two-goal advantage for the visitors, and very much the same as the first meeting at this point.
Here's Abby Hunt now driving through the middle. Good stuff from Abby Hunt, as we've come to expect. Here's Flanagan now. That's a good ball and a good shot from Flanagan just over the bar. But great stuff there from Abby Hunt and from Chelsea Flanagan. But unfortunately, the score remains 2-0, Paul. But that's better.
That is better. We found Flanagan in a pocket of space there where she could unleash a shot from outside the box, and it just flew over.
It's a free kick to Chester Street. In front of the TV gantry, played long into FC United's penalty area, and FC United let it bounce, and there to mop it up was Katie Ellison, and it's now 3-0 to Chester Street. 20 minutes played, Paul.
Well, that's the softest of goals to concede. A routine free kick played into the box, the ball bounces midway inside the box, and nobody really reacts, nobody tries to clear it or cover it, and The Chester Street player was just allowed to run in and nod it over the keeper.
Wood on the touchline over on the right hand side plays it to Kelly. Kelly could turn infield to O'Gara. O'Gara, good skill on the edge of the penalty area, but again, Chester Street putting bodies in the way. Rigby gets the ball back, plays it to Abby Hunt from right back, plays the ball long. Oh, Flanagan's in loads of space, brings the ball down. Flanagan shoots into the top corner. A decisive finish from Chelsea Flanagan, and on 27 minutes, FC have a goal back. Chester Street with the ball, but Flanagan cuts out the pass, gets it to O'Gara. O'Gara, nice ball there to find Kelly. Kelly's onside, but a lot to do from that angle. She shoots, oh, just drags it wide. But a better start to this half.
There's a dreadful goal kick.
Really was, and there's Flanagan with a shot just over the bar. And in the opening 50 seconds of this half, FC United with two really good chances. Free kick to Chester Street. Hope Taylor back on her feet to take this free kick. And she's gone for goal. And, well, I'll tell you what.
I can see why.
Hope Taylor there with an absolute blinding finish over the head of Ainsworth. 3 minutes played into this second half. And it's 4-1, Paul.
Well, that was a hammer blow, wasn't it? In all senses of the word. It was quite a distance she was hitting it from, but it dipped and absolutely rocketed into the goal. Poor Chloe Ainsworth didn't have a prayer.
Full time here at Broadhurst Park, FC United suffering a 4-1 defeat here at home to Chester Street in a game which really, well, FC United just didn't convert any of their chances really. I mean, 18 shots off target for FC United this afternoon, 11 on, but the crucial stat is 9 of Chester Street shots were on target of the 11 they had, and they were cutthroat, weren't they? They took their chances, and FC United just really didn't get going. Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Welcome to Women's Team Live. The internet doesn't have Ofcom regulations, but please don't swear anyway.
I'll try my best.
Right, okay. So, what's your thoughts after that?
Completely unacceptable all round. That's about as constructive as I can be, if I'm honest. We've not done the basics. We've dropped to their standard. The first 30 minutes was an absolute disgrace. And people tell me they've got effort and, you know, they want to go and win it. I'm not seeing it.
I mean, how much of that, though, is to do with the fact, you know, I'm looking at the squad and, you know, I've never commented on this 11 before.
Yep.
This 11's never played together before. Yep. As an 11. You've made changes. And in the first 30 minutes of that game, the passes just weren't coming off, and they were basic passes. And
yeah.
How much is that to do with unfamiliarity?
I don't know. Like, I don't want to be a person that makes mistakes. That 11, we feel, is the best team we could have put out to start the game. And if players can't complete passes, it doesn't matter how long you've been here or how long you haven't been here. I mean, it's the name of the game, isn't it? Like, finding feet. So If we've got to reflect on, you know, how we're playing the ball to each other and whether it's time of duration, we've got a few 16-year-olds which have probably played a number of years less than a few of the other players, but since they've put the boots on, it's been about passing, hasn't it? So when we can't complete passes to each other, there's no effort out of possession, you find yourself in a situation like that.
80% possession for FC United in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just about the passing, is it? It's about the chances being created. Was it 18 shots off target, Paul?
Yeah, the decision-making was awful in every third of the pitch. Like I say, first 30 minutes, we had prepared last time we played them that they had two up top. They've got one up top and we've got three still sat in. Now, that doesn't... You go back to the prep that we've done for Brighouse, for Stockport.
Yeah.
Chelsea deals with the nine and the other two can drive out. And we got success. But after 30 minutes, like, do you know what I mean? We can't be stuck in traps. And we found ourselves 2-3-0 down. And like you say, how many passes have they done at that point, Paul? About 10 passes.
It's also about momentums of games. And we didn't start the first half well at all. We came back into the game at that point. The second half, we created two very good chances in the opening couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Then we get that free kick against us, and you know, I don't know where to begin with that. But
I don't think we've got enough time to analyse the officiation.
It's asking a lot, isn't it? To go when you go 4-1 down and to pick yourself up again.
100%. It doesn't matter who you are and who they are. If you 4-1 down after 50 minutes, you've not put yourself in the best situation, have you? And it's always going to be a mammoth task from there. We've not been clinical enough in the final third. We've had a shed load of possession and passes. It's not been quick enough. It's been too slow. There's not been enough movements off the ball. And that's why we haven't brought them down.
So, we were saying, it's not a relegation battle at this stage. It's just a case of just a couple of wins and we don't have to worry about that and we can get back to aiming for fourth. But it's just, how do you pick the players up after this, because this is one of those games, isn't it, which is going to need a lot of your experience to
refocus
for Charlie.
Like I say, we've got to learn that we're in control of how we play and the effort we put in, and that's what's lacked today. Like I say, we've got 80% possession, but what have we done with it? And was it played at our standard or was it played at Chesterley Street standard? I would say that we played at Chesterley Street standard, and that's why they've took the points from us. But this, for us, without a doubt, was a must-win three-pointer, everything about it. And I don't know if players have read into that too much on their own perspective and thought it was going to be easy or not. But, like I say, the first 30 minutes was one of the worst performances I've seen from a team in my time.
Well, I like to end interviews on a positive, so I'm going to focus on two players to finish things off with: Chelsea Flanagan, obviously, and Abby Hunt, who I think in a performance of sixes, let's say, they were eights, and you know they were, you know, more of that. And if the younger players can look up to players like Abby Hunt and Chelsea Flanagan, they won't go wrong with it.
No, 100%. Like you say, I think if you spoke to them too, they'd probably be quite critical of the quality of how they played throughout the game. There were spells of the excellence that they provide, but when we're critiquing a performance like that, and an effort and endeavour is probably the key thing that we're going to start at, them two without a doubt were trying to lead the team forward and make things happen.
So Charlie next. Mm-hmm. How important is that game now?
Absolutely huge. Out of these four we had in this 3 week period, that was the game where a point would have been good. We haven't seen them yet. We went and watched them a few times earlier in the season, but we never know how they're going to set up against us. And then the other three games were almost wins, so we've put a lot more pressure on ourselves for this Chorley game, and we need to be ready. And, you know, showing that everyone is singing off the same hymn sheet, and we care about how we perform and the results that our performances are going to get us.
Women's team manager Tom Fitton there speaking on Sunday. Next up for FC will be that home game with Chorley this Sunday. Kick-off at Broadhurst Park will be at 2 p.m. Admission will be pay on the gate, £3 for adults, £2 concessions, £1 for men's season ticket holders, £1 for under-18s with under-5s, free with a paying adult. But if you're unable to make the game this weekend, we'll of course have coverage right here on FC Radio. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.